We're reading from Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
I went for a walk in the woods above Ashford, and it was really nice. Even when it was all closed in, walking down through the trees was delightful. And then all of a sudden, I came across this little clearing, and the view from it was absolutely spectacular. You could see the whole sweep of the bay. You could see Wicklow Town in the distance and the church on the hill. You could see the green fields below and the horse track. It was absolutely delightful. But to cap it all off, right in the centre of the scene was a lovely little village. Delightful it was. Picturesque. Lovely. Rathnew. Why? Why are you laughing? Listen, the Minister for Health had his wedding reception in Rathnew. Did you know that? So if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for anybody. Okay. It was a lovely view. And as I stood on that rock, there was a little plaque in stone. And it said this: how good it is to be alive on this spot. It was a lovely view. Week last Friday it was. The sun was shining, everything, the birds in the tree. Delightful. How good it is to be on this spot. And the theme before us this morning is delightful. How good it is to be on this spot. Because the theme before us is the theme of grace. We need to define it. A definition of grace would be something like the free, undeserved, unmerited kindness of God. A gift. In fact, the original language for gift and grace are almost identical. Gift and grace. And the chapter that we have read is a delightful chapter. It's a beautiful chapter because it is telling us, listen, when there was no hope, when everything was lost, out of God's sheer kindness and goodness, he gave you life. Life in all its fullness. And that's a sheer act of grace. He goes on later in the chapter to say, well, listen, we can't earn this wonderful gift. It is a free gift. And all of the New Testament is very keen to underline that point. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not by works so that nobody can say, well, I deserve it more than you do. It's freely given, this word grace. But it's not just this giving of eternal life. It's the wherewithal to maintain that life. That's amazing, isn't it? Grace that gives us life, and grace that will be there for every step of the way. For the person who comes and receives this gift, they stand in grace. How does chapter 5 of Romans start? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So when we receive this gift of life, we come into a place of grace. God is there. God provides. God helps. That's why Paul can come out with those great texts. I can do everything, because he gives me the strength. As I face the future, my God shall supply all my need according to his glorious riches in Christ. Grace. From start to finish, it's all of grace. And the Apostle Paul, again in Colossians, says, listen, how did you come to have this life? Well, it was a gift from God. Now that you have this life, continue to live in grace. Every day, realize that his grace, free gift, kindness, strength, supply, provision, is sufficient for you. That's a definition of grace. The unmerited, undeserved, free kindness of God. We couldn't do it. We can't drum it up ourselves. We cannot earn it. It's freely given. That's a definition. I want to give you an illustration. And the best way to do it is to just read it from the Old Testament. So if you have your Bibles with you, and if you want to follow it in the text, it's found in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And the story is set when David is king, and he remembers the covenant that he made with Jonathan and Saul, that they would always mind each other, they would always provide for each other, they would always show kindness to each other's family. And David remembers that covenant that he has made. So David asks in 2 Samuel chapter 9, is there anybody still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and he said to the king, and the king said to him, are you Ziba? Your servant, he replied. The king asked, is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I might show kindness? Which is an amazing question, because the house of Saul and the house of David were at loggerheads. I mean, Saul tried many times to kill him. And in those days, what did you do with your enemies? You surely didn't show them kindness. Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? Ziba answered the king, well, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet. Where is he? The king asked. Ziba answered, well, he is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodibar. So King David had him brought from Lodibar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to him to pay him honor. David said, Mephibosheth? Your servant, he replied. Don't be afraid, David said to him. I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Mephibosheth bowed and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" And the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and to bring him the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth's grandson of your master will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. Isn't that a great story? Here's this poor fella living out in Lodibar. Afraid. Yeah, he belonged to the family that were ousted. Afraid. Lodibar literally means a place of no pasture. It was not the place to be. And David, because of the covenant, said, "Is there anybody I can show kindness to?" Well, there's only Mephibosheth out there. He lives in Lodibar. Call him. And Mephibosheth comes frightened. "I'm going to make you a member of my household. I'm going to restore to you all the lands your father lost and your grandfather lost. I'm going to provide all that you need for the future. I'm going to give you servants." And Ziba and his sons, 15, 20, 35 men, just looking after your farm. "I'm going to provide for you so that you won't be in any want at all. And every day, there's a place for you at my table." That is grace. And that is what God has done for us in Christ. We were in Lodibar, a place of no pasture. Oh, we thought it was all right. We were scratching around doing this and that. But the call came. I trust you've heard that call. The call came from the king. Come. And Mephibosheth, nothing to offer. An enemy. With all his restrictions and limits, he came, hearkened the call, and David blessed him, restored to him all that was lost and more. And daily he had a place at the table. This morning, as you come to the end of this little study in grace, and it's such a view, we could linger here all day, but we're not going to. As we come to the end, the question is, have I heard the call? Have I realized it's not me, but it's him who saves me? Have I come to terms with the fact that it's grace? And if I have, am I sitting at his table? Am I enjoying being a child of God? Am I enjoying being a son? Am I entering into what it means to be part of the household of God? Am I sitting at the table? Am I feasting on the finest of the fare at the royal banquet? Or am I still scratching around? It's grace. Grace gives us new life. Grace provides the table. Grace provides the food. Grace provides all the help that we need to farm the land. And grace will bring us safe home. It's all of grace. I'm going to finish my walk, right? When I went down this bit and I saw this beautiful view, and I'm rejoicing in the fact that I'm in Rathlew. Oh. when I came and started to climb, I came to a signpost. I thought, well, I've never been down this way before. And there it was, the Seamus Heaney Trail, back up to Tiglin. And I started to climb the hill. I was hard going. I was out of puff. And as I came round a bend, there was a seat. And on the back of the seat was written, oh, we better get it. On the back of the seat was written this: walker, pause now. Walker, pause now and sit. Be quiet here. Inhale the breath of life in a breath of air. Seamus Heaney. I was glad of that seat. I sat on that seat and I paid attention to what the verse was saying to me. Walker, just have 5 here. Pause and sit. Just be still. Just be quiet. And inhale. Take a breath of life in a breath of air. And as I sat on our bench, you know, I was thinking of this great subject of grace. And I'm thinking to myself, that's what God does. Sometimes the hill is steep and we're out of breath. And we say, how much further is this going to go on? And you go around a bend and there's more. But he provides a seat. And he says to us, if I can borrow Seamus Heaney's words, walker, you're on a journey, walker. Pause and sit and be still. And inhale a breath of grace. Strength for today. My grace is sufficient for you. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the grace, the strength. Take a breath of grace in a breath of air. And then carry on. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your grace. Oh, how wonderful. What a view you've brought before us, your grace. And as we face tomorrow with its problems large and small, we trust you for your grace. Grace that has given us life. Grace that will help us climb the hill. Grace that provides seats. Grace that makes us calm down and sit and remember afresh that it's grace. And we know, and we are confident that grace will bring us safe home. Praise God. Thank you, dear Father, for your marvelous grace shown to us in the one, Jesus Christ, who was full of grace and truth. Although he was rich for our sakes, he became poor that we, through his poverty, might be rich. Oh, thank you for his grace. Accept our praise, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.